If you would all please at this time stand, and I'll read God's word for us this morning. Comes to us today from the second chapter of Luke, verses 8 through 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is God's word for us today. You may be seated.
As I said before, thank you for joining us. My name is Josh Habman. I'm the executive pastor here at Grace. We are talking about the advent of Jesus in December. We're talking about Jesus coming because that is what Advent is all about. It's about recognizing that Jesus is coming and waiting for that arrival, for that appearance, for the incarnation of our Savior. And if you've been in churches before in Christmas, in the Christmas season, you probably feel like finally we're on some firm ground. I understand what we're talking about. I've heard those passages before. And hopefully we can turn that on its ear a little bit for you this year. And you can rethink what you thought you knew about the scripture and what's true there, because there's a lot there to discover about our Lord and about his coming. So we're going to be searching the scriptures during Advent to see who is this Jesus that comes to save us. What does it mean? What does it mean that Jesus came, for example, with angels at his birth, announcing his birth? What does it mean that he came to the poor people, to the Jews and to the nations? Because this is the Jesus that we serve and worship. We want to know him. We want to understand him. You've heard these people this morning say, "I have no hope. I have no faith. I have no even hope for salvation apart from Jesus Christ." So what does that mean? Who is this guy that we have put our hope and faith and trust in? We want to talk about that in the next 4 weeks. We also want to talk about today specifically, what are angels? And why did Jesus come with them? And what does this do for us today? How does this help us today? Because everything in Scripture is for us. God has given us these words to build into us, to give us life, hope, peace. And even this testimony that the Lord came with angels is for us and can grow us. So we want to hear from him today. We want to hear from his word about that. So as we do that, as we go into the word today, I'm going to ask you to pray with me and for me, and then we'll talk specifically about this. Heavenly Father, thank you for coming, not just once, Lord, but for always. You didn't just show up and then disappear and then you were gone, but you came and you established your kingdom, and now, Lord, you are growing your kingdom. And you're going to come again, and you're going to make things new. And we just praise you for that. We thank you for that, Lord, because we need things to be made new. We see your kingdom, Lord, and we are excited. We are glad to gather with the body. We're glad to celebrate baptisms. But we feel that the world is not as it should be yet. And Lord, even as we hear this scripture read, that men would beat their swords into pruning hooks, that they would stop waging war against each other, we know that that's not happening now. So we ask, Lord, that you would help us to wait well. Help us to wait well this Advent season as we anticipate the celebration of your birth. Help us to wait well for your second coming, Lord. Help us to wait well as we hunger for your righteousness. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Before we go into what are angels, who thinks we built a baptismal in the last week? Anybody surprised by that showing up? Funny story, that's been here the entire time. There was just a wall in front of it, and now the wall's not there anymore, so you can see it. Seemed like a good way to go. Many thanks to Kyle Solwer and the larger team that helped him. Can we thank them? Because that was a lot of work. And as a result, we will no longer have large leaks on stage and hopefully less mold. So we're all excited for those things. So we have to ask some questions this morning if we're going to talk about angels, we should at least address the question of what are angels. And I've got some examples up here of things that might come to mind when I say angels. If you're old enough, your mind immediately goes to certain television shows and movies where angels were prominent, right? Touched by an Angel, Highway to Heaven, maybe Angels in the Outfield. There are lots of others. We could put lots of others, and I've got a couple of other examples. Some of your minds go to something more like Renaissance art. We've got this statue by Michelangelo here, basically just a soldier, right, with wings. But lots of you, when you hear the word angels, when you think about angels, these are the kinds of images that your mind goes to. Or maybe here, right? Maybe it's something even more militaristic. This is Ben Affleck as an angel from the movie Dogma. Or it's something a little bit silly, right? This is from Emperor's New Groove, possibly the finest piece of cinema in the last 100 years. And maybe it's silly, right? Or maybe it's something like this. And ladies, if you're above a certain age and you have certain Precious Moments figurines in your home, don't hear me saying that you've got a problem. But do understand that if this is what you think of angels, right, and maybe your kids are doing coloring sheets like this, if this is what you think of angels, then we're going to encourage you to go back to the scripture. Because what the scripture says about what angels are is much, much more than these things. And when we focus on these things, we run the risk of not believing the truth. So, why is this potentially problematic? Because if we read the scripture, and this is, fair warning, this is going to be slightly disturbing. If we read the scripture, we might come away with the impression that this is what angels look like. And that's troubling. That's troubling. If you're in your home, and something like that figurine, right, or the image there from the coloring page shows up in your home, are you immediately scared or frightened? Are you bowing down on the ground in fear? Probably not. I mean, it's weird, right, if something like that just shows up and you weren't expecting it, but you're probably not afraid. However, if one of those shows up in your house, you might be afraid. It might need to tell you, do not be afraid, if it was a messenger from God. And that's what happens again and again and again in Scripture, is when angels show up, they have to tell people, do not be afraid. And there's a reason for that. And I don't think it's because they look like this. I think it might be because they look more like this. So why would I say angels look more like this? Well, we'll get to some of the Scripture in a minute. But that's disturbing. And I think the reasons are going to be clear to us in a minute. So what are angels? Well, the word just means messenger, both the Hebrew word, which is very similar to the name Malachi, the name Malachi in the Bible, the prophet who writes the book of Malachi, his name means messenger. And that's similar to the Hebrew word, which just means messenger. And the Greek word that we translate angels also means messenger. So they're messengers. They're created beings who have been given this task by God to go out and spread his word. We see them described in a variety of ways, sometimes called cherubim in Genesis and Exodus. We have this image of a certain kind of angel. In Genesis, it says that the Garden of Eden is guarded by a cherubim with a flaming sword. And it says that the Ark of the Covenant that's made to sit in the temple has cherubim on it, and it's got wings that go up and they meet over the top of the Ark. And that's where God sits, his presence resides in the temple. So angels are described as cherubim, as seraphim in Isaiah. If you guys are familiar with this passage, Isaiah has this picture, this vision of the throne room of God. And he's there, he's transported there, and he sees angels, messengers of God, flying, and they're flying with wings, and they're covering themselves with wings, and they're crying out, holy, holy, holy. There's also living creatures described by Ezekiel that we understand to be angels, and they're also described in Revelation. And these, like the images I showed you, are pretty disturbing creatures. It says they have four faces, like an eagle, like a man, like an ox. And I'm forgetting the other one, like a bull, maybe? I'm gonna have to check on my fourth face there. But they've got these four faces representing basically animals, right, and nature. And then there's also wings and wheels and eyes covering the creatures. They're disturbing. But this is what is described in Ezekiel and Revelation. And then in Luke, we just heard John read about this heavenly host, which means army. And it's, again, we see that in Revelation. There's a heavenly army of angels. So none of those descriptions really add up to a cute television show or a funny movie where angels are helping a baseball team win the World Series. Right? That doesn't quite add up. But what we do see again and again and again are these created beings made by God. They can make moral decisions. We know that because some of the angels fall. They choose not to obey God. And they have intelligence. And usually they're without bodies. And I say usually because mankind does occasionally interact with angels, but it's not often. When they do, they're often afraid, right? Like I just described, they're constantly saying, do not be afraid, because humans are. But sometimes, and this reference from Hebrews here is an interesting one, sometimes we interact with them and we don't even know that we're interacting with them. Hebrews 13 says, don't stop showing hospitality. Don't stop being kind to strangers, because sometimes when you do that, you're actually being kind to an angel and you didn't even know it. And I think the point here is just that you can't pick one specific form and say, oh, that's what an angel looks like. But rather, angels are created by God. They're given this task of being his messengers. And anytime they show up, we know that there's something special going on. And so that's what we're going to kind of focus on this morning, is the special thing that's going on. So why did Jesus come with angels? Well, let's look at the text here. Luke 2:8 says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel, one of the Lord, appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. So again, there's something about this appearance, this bodily appearance, which is totally abnormal for these shepherds. They're not expecting it. There's something about this angel showing up that makes them afraid. And it could be just the way it looks. It could be the power. It could be the light. We don't know, right? The text doesn't say here. But an angel shows up and they are afraid. We know that. And it goes on to say, the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So what's the message here? This is not a trick question. What's the message here? Christ is born, right? Jesus is coming. Here's the message. This angel shows up to deliver this message. Why did Jesus come with the angels? Well, to ensure that this message of good news would come, and it would come with great joy. The angels are telling the shepherds so the shepherds can go and tell other people. This is God's plan. This is his desire that this message come through. And Jesus can't tell the message yet because Jesus is coming as a baby. And if you haven't heard the message yet, let's just stop right here and make sure you know the message, because this is why people were baptized. This is why we gather here, right? The message is that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ came as a baby. He lived a perfect, sinless life, and he died so that we might have everlasting life by believing in him, by saying, yeah, I'm a sinner. I have no hope apart from Christ, but I believe, Jesus, that your death can stand in for mine. Then we can have everlasting life. So this is the message, and it's a good message. It's good news. That's what gospel means. Good news. Great joy. Even though they're terrified, the shepherds are supposed to understand this is good news, and God wants them to be clear on that. This also confirms Jesus' identity. If you look through Luke and Matthew, you'll see the angels appear to Zechariah, to Mary, to Joseph, and to the shepherds. And every time the angels are confirming that Jesus not only is good news, but he's God's son, that he is coming as promised from God, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior. And there's nothing that adds credibility to your claims to be God. There's nothing like having God's own messengers come and deliver the message. Right? You all know this. You've all experienced this, that there are different kinds of messages that you can receive. Right? If your child comes to you and they say, I need something, it's the I need season. Anybody been in that boat yet as a parent? Right? They've seen things on TV. They're starting to see advertisements. Oh, I need that. I need that. If your child comes and says they need something, it's a certain kind of message that you receive. If an adult comes and says your child needs something, it's a different kind of message. If a professional, right, if their teacher or a doctor or somebody else that you trust comes and says your child needs something, it's an entirely different kind of message. And God sends the most credible, right, the most trustworthy messengers he can, beings created specifically for that purpose, to deliver his word. And so the angels are verifying that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Messiah. When the shepherds and when Mary and Joseph and Zechariah, when they hear these messages from angels, they're supposed to understand this is God's message to you. This is confirmation. And then ultimately that establishes Jesus' authority. So it's heavenly hosts that tell the shepherds, right? We just saw that. John read in the passage. There's an angel, and then the heavens are filled with the hosts, with this army that's praising God. Jesus likewise tells his disciples, I'm going to turn here in a second to Matthew 25. It is the heavenly host, it's the armies of God that help to establish that Jesus is the Messiah. So let's look at Matthew 25 because this is really interesting. Jesus in Matthew 25 is going to be talking about his return, not his birth, but it's a very similar situation. So we've already seen that the angels show up at Jesus' birth. To tell the shepherds this is what's happening. But now Matthew 25, 31 through 46, Jesus is talking about his return. And he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. And then he goes on, Jesus goes on to say, I'm going to separate the people, I'm going to divide the people up based on whether or not they followed me, based on whether or not they have listened to my voice. He says something similar in John 3:16, which many of you know, this idea that you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You can have redemption from him, or you can reject him. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus is saved, and whoever rejects him does not have salvation. And so he says that here again in Matthew. He says, I'm going to come with my angels, with the armies of heaven, and this will establish that I am, in fact, the Messiah, the Savior. So that's a question for us answered. Jesus is coming with the angels. Why? To show that he is, in fact, God's chosen one. No other person in human history claims to be God and also comes with an army of angels to establish that fact. But Jesus does. And the army is sent, the messengers are sent before he's born, when he's born, and throughout his life, and when he returns. So how does this help us? How does this help us to know Jesus? How does this help us to wait for Jesus well? Well, we can know with certainty that Jesus is the Messiah. Like I just said, the message is given by the kinds of messengers that we need to hear it from. And like I explained before, if your child says they need something, you receive it one kind of way. If a professional, if somebody you trust who has authority says it, you receive it differently. And the same is true as adults, right? When people tell us things, we receive it in a variety of ways, depending on who the person is, how much we trust them, how much we love them. The more authority we give that person, the greater the responsibility to receive their message well. And here the message is coming from God's own messengers. And we can also see that we're not alone in anticipating and worshiping Jesus as King. I want to spend a little time just talking about these ways that we see that we're not alone. So we've already read from Luke, right? How do we see that we are not alone in worshiping Jesus? Look at all of the people that are being told about Jesus' coming. Even though Jesus is an infant, this message is coming to Zechariah and Elizabeth. This message is coming to Mary and Joseph. And now this message is coming to shepherds, just average people who are living, who are doing their work nearby, and they're receiving this message. And they come to Mary. And the scripture tells us that Mary takes these words from the shepherds and she stores them up in her heart. And it's a reminder to her that she's not alone. That this message from the Lord for her about her son is for her, but it's for all people. The message is good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Savior has been born, and that's for all of us. So we're not alone. 1 Peter 1:12, if you have a Bible, you want to take a second to turn there. Let's look over to 1 Peter. Because Peter is writing to the church. He's not writing specifically about Jesus' birth. But I'm going to read starting in verse 10 here of 1 Peter 1. He is talking about salvation. He's talking about this common belief that Christians share. And he says, concerning this salvation, 1 Peter 1:10, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. And it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Not only are we not alone because there are other people who are hearing this message and they're receiving it and we can walk with them, but even the messengers, even God's armies, are also longing to look into these things that Christ is doing. And so I want you to hear this morning that these messengers that are maybe kind of scary because they need to constantly tell us, do not be afraid, these messengers are also co-workers, co-laborers with us in the gospel. They want to know what God is doing too. They are interested to look into these things as well because God has a role for them in this as well. And to some extent that role is to watch over us, to speak to us, to protect us, right? Satan even uses this against Jesus when Jesus is suffering in the desert. He says, doesn't the scripture say that he will command his angels, his messengers concerning you so that you won't even stub your toe, you won't even strike your foot against a stone? And Jesus says, now hold on a second. You're using the scripture in the wrong way. But then after the temptation, the angels do come and minister to Jesus. And we do see in scripture that there are angels who are watching over us. And I don't know that we can describe in, you know, the time we have here this morning, a complete theology of what it means to have a guardian angel. I'm not going to try and do that. But I do want you to know that the scripture does say that the angels are working with us for the sake of the gospel. And they are looking out for us. And they are giving us messages from God. And they are seeking to do his will. And we know that because Revelation tells us that. So one more passage here. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 19, where John is receiving this revelation from God, and he is talking to an angel. We'll start in verse 6. John's receiving this revelation. He is experiencing something that he can barely describe. In Revelation 19, 6, he says, then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And what John is talking about there is the second coming of Jesus, which Jesus has already showed us in Scripture is going to be with the heavenly host to confirm that he's the Messiah. And now John is saying, and there will be a complete reconciliation where we're all in right relationship with each other and with God. And that will be like a wedding feast, like a marriage supper. Verse 9, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. And then John says in verse 10, then I fell down at his feet to worship him. Even though the angels are constantly telling us, don't be afraid, we don't know how to react around them because they are messengers from God. They do stand in his presence and they do carry that holiness. And one other common response is to try and worship them. And that's what John does here. He receives this word from God and it's good and he's excited about it. He's like, oh, maybe I should worship this guy. Maybe he is in fact God. And the angel responds, but he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Understand then that in Luke and 1 Peter and Revelation, we see that we are not alone in worshiping the Lord. Not only do we have other believers, like it shows us in Luke, but we have angels who want to look into the things that we're doing. In fact, angels, it says in Revelation, who are working alongside of us. Fellow servants, it says, with us and our brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. This is kind of a hard thing for us because we live in a world that's driven by materialism. We live in a world where science rules like a king, and a scientific worldview, a naturalist worldview, says there is no room for the supernatural. There's no room for angels. There's no room for powers. There's no room for God. But this testimony is true. We have to grapple with it. There is a reason why a dozen men and then all of the other men and women around those original apostles, there's a reason why they gave their life to follow Jesus. And I'm going to tell you today that I don't think it's simply because they liked what the guy said, but rather they believed that he was who he said he was. And they didn't just believe because he did miraculous things. They also believed because angels showed up at his birth. And they also believed because angels showed up when he ascended into heaven and they talked to the disciples and they said, he's going to come back. And their testimony is good. It's true. And it's lasted now for 2,000 years. And there's a reason why the church has been built up. And it's not simply because we have nice things to say, because sometimes we don't have nice things to say. Sometimes the church is a place where people come and they're hurt. So I know it's not just dependent on us, but rather there are others working alongside of us and the Holy Spirit working in and through us. So what is it? What good is it to know that angels have come? I think it's good to know that we aren't doing this alone. That the church is walking with us, that angels are looking into what's going on, not in a weird and creepy way, right? But because there are co-laborers, there are co-workers, they want to do this alongside of us, fellow servants of Jesus Christ. And they are powerful, and they are working on our behalf. So I think that's why it's important for us to know those things today. This morning, we're going to read the benediction together, and I'm going to read through it first before we do it together, because I want you to hear this from Psalms. This is a word from the Lord to angels and to us. From Psalm 148:1, it says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host, all of the messengers of God, the armies of God, praise him. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever, and he gave a decree and it shall not pass away. This is the right way, I think, to think about angels. This is what Scripture is telling us. These beings created by God, they're there for a purpose. There are co-workers, there are co-servants, and they come with us, with the message of God, to change the world. And you have that opportunity to work alongside of them today. Don't be afraid of supernatural beings. Don't be afraid of angels when they are serving the Lord. And what about those angels that aren't serving the Lord? Remember that picture you showed of the guy, and he had the nice angel on one shoulder, and he had the not-so-nice one on the other shoulder? What about them? Jesus is very clear. He says, I have overcome. I have won. The battle, the victory is sure. Even though there are people that work against the Lord, even though there are angels that have fallen, that have chosen to work against the Lord, he says, I have overcome. The victory is sure. He laid his life down and he took it back up again, and he's preparing a place for us where we can be with him forever. So this is the message today, that Jesus is coming with the angels. And I want you to hear, it's not just an interesting thing, it's a glorious thing. That these heavenly beings are working alongside of us, that they are testifying that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he is real, that he's true, and that they're the best testimony because they are from the Lord himself, and that they're working alongside of you. So if you're able, please stand. Let's read this together. And then I'm going to pray for us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending angels that could testify that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you are true and real, that you've come to save us from our sins. Thank you for this good news of great joy, Lord, that we can have favor with you by confessing our sins and accepting you as Savior. There is no cost. Lord, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to change who we are because you will do that for us when we submit ourselves to you. You will make us new. Behold, you're making all things new through your blood shed on the cross. I praise you for that, Lord. Thank you for this good word. Thank you for our co-laborers in this effort. Created beings that we don't often see, Lord, but that you use to give us truth. Thank you for all that you do for us every single day. In your name, Jesus, amen. Know that you can always come forward after service for prayer. We invite you to do that and have a good week. We'll see you next week.